Greetings, gentle people. We are here. We are live and we are in living color. Let's jump into this week's conversation. Disclaimer, this podcast is not just for gentlemen, but gentlewomen as well. Now that that's out of our way, welcome to a gentleman's conversation.
Good evening, gentlewomen and gentlemen. This is Tony Cathy, a.k.a. Miss Cathy's baby boy, a.k.a. Mr. White Lines, because I be in them streets.
This here is your big homie, the one and only.
Oh, yes.
The one that tries to motivate your interest, understand your situations, and deliver you a solution that is viable.
Big homie, man, how's been your week, man?
Oh, man. You know I'm alive. And sometimes you have to appreciate being here more so than the problems that you've had being here.
Dig that. Shout out to Big J back there in the engineer booth.
Yes. Yes, Big J. You know, he's handling it and keeping it down and making this reality y'all's reality.
So, let's get into a little bit of the senses.
Yes.
Seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling.
A lot of the things that we take for granted, but are so much a part of our day-to-day.
Amen. Amen.
So, what is it that you have...
You know what, man? I'm going to have to go with the sense of touch, the sense of feel.
Yes.
And I'm going to relay this to, so just keep up with me, because some people like to argue what is the specifics of all that. But let's just keep it simple. There is a brand, and this is at your local Walmart. It may be me. I picked it up at Walgreens. Okay. But it's Cremo, C-R-E-M-O. That's the brand. And there's two particular scents that I like. I like the Distiller's Blend and the Bourbon Oak. The Bourbon Oak, it I like earthy notes. I like sandalwood. I like, and you know, help me out if I'm pronouncing wrong, but Bergeron. I like the oats of cedar. I like those natural blends. I like smelling like a grown man.
Oh. Amen.
You understand? I don't like smelling like dishwashing liquid, right. Like flowers,
right.
Irish Spring. You know,
right.
Don't
right.
get me wrong. I tried. What was that scent back in the '90s? Real popular. Not Jope, or Jupe, depending upon which side of the planet you're from.
Clear water,
bud. That junk right there, Doc. That
clear water had a repertoire about it. It was something that was highly recognizable.
The whole club smelled like
everybody.
That. Everybody was wearing it.
Everybody.
And then when they came out with one, it was by Calvin Klein. It was one of the first crossover scents, because it was for men and women.
Ooh.
It was you know, unisexual. So anybody. It was unisex. Anybody could wear it. But I think it was called One.
One,
One. You know, correct me on that. That's all good. That's what going live is about. You know, you accept the mistakes and then you keep it moving. But it was that was an incredible sense. But this particular brand, Cremo, they have deodorant, they have shaving palm, They have lotions and they have body wash. And one of the reasons why I like it is because it sticks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I can use the body wash and not put the deodorant on or the lotion and you can smell it. Now, it's one of those close quarter scents because you got to hug me.
Oh, so you're saying closeness.
Yeah, you got to hug me. Oh my. What is that?
Closeness.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, so, I get that.
You know, and see, when I think of cream, I think of creme de creme.
The creme?
That's
now you're talking about the top of it.
Yeah, I'm talking about the top.
The top of it.
But those scents are the Distiller's Blend.
Yes.
And then the Bourbon Oak. They have several other ones. Going to the website or just going to your local Walgreens. I'm tend to sway more towards the website because you can get an overall better view of what they have.
Yes.
Walgreens
versus what you see in the store.
Yeah, what you see in the store is going to be limited. You may like a scent, but only the deodorant is available.
Right.
Or only the body wash and the deodorant, not the lotion or what have you. They even have an aftershave splash.
Let's see, I don't want to use something that men need to become aware of. It is the combo. Mm-hmm. It is when you layer these things upon themselves that you get the true essence of what it is you're about to embark upon. Check that out if you would, and be mindful that this is grown folk stuff.
And also, quick disclaimer.
Yes, we are not getting anything from this. We're just enlightening those who may have a preference to something different to their repertoire.
Yes, these are not sponsors.
No.
This is stuff that we like, that we think you may like.
Yes.
And ladies, I know how y'all do. You all will put on Wash Up, Splash, a men's fragrance on your person, and then overlay it with a feminine scent.
See?
And be incredible. So dig that. Try it out.
See, the arousal of one's senses is what we're speaking from.
So talk to me, big homie. What's one of your senses?
I wanna get into the Harry's.
Okay.
Harry's. A lot of brothers. I use razors. The straight razor.
All right.
And the double edge, and most African Americans have a tendency to bump.
Right.
Harry's has a product line out, and there again, like we said, we're not getting paid for any of this. They are not sponsors. That will work very well. I do believe that if you know how to shave, you will have a better shaving experience.
Preach.
And how to shave is knowing that you've conditioned your face for the actual shaving.
Talk about the conditioning. Yes, sir.
See, you know that.
Because I use Harry's as well.
That hot towel thing.
Not the hot towel.
That hot towel. You done seen them in the cowboy movies. You done seen cowboys sitting
back
in the chair.
Yes, sir.
And they put that hot towel opens up the pores, and this the ointments that they have and the shaving creams that they provide allow the softened hair in African Americans to stand up and become a little coarse. So when you shave, you get a close shave, and when it grows back, it doesn't curl under, which causes razor bumps, irritation.
That inflammation.
Yes. Amen. Those things that make you not want to deal with those razors.
Amen.
So try them out. I do recommend that you do all of the preparations that are required. Hot towel, condition your skin so that when you're shaving, your experience is a pleasurable one. So that you can get the results that you desire.
Right on. What you got going on? What's one of your senses?
Man,
let me talk to him.
I have been thinking about a pairing of, I've tried some cigars. The one I've been on now is a Flathead.
Okay.
The brand is called Flathead 554.
Well, the average, what does that cost you?
They're running about $10.
Okay.
$10 a cigar. They have a very good...
So inexpensive, but
aromatic, good flavor. It works well. And here again, this is me. This may not be for everyone, but I find that dark chocolate, a good cigar, and a good bourbon will give you an understanding that grown folks have been knowing for a while.
Dig that. So is that tobacco wrap a dark tobacco or is it a lighter tobacco?
It is a dark. It's a dark wrap tobacco. Don't be afraid of the dark. You may be in the light, but come to the dark. You will not be disappointed.
You sound like Vader.
Oh, ain't no question. See, this darkness right here give you a new revelation.
So with this particular one, what's that name again?
It's called Flathead 554.
What would you pair that with?
I would pair that with a good straight bourbon.
Okay.
Whatever your straight bourbon choice may be.
Okay, and again, no, we have no sponsors.
Right.
But if you was to recommend a bourbon, which one would you?
Knob Creek.
One that you like. Watch yourself.
See, and I say Knob Creek because Knob Creek is 9 years old. Mm-hmm. You want a bourbon with some age.
So let me ask you something. What is a particular reason why you like Knob Creek as it relates to their advertisement?
Well, Knob Creek said something that was very striking to me. They said, if you don't like it, put the seal on it and send it to us. We'll drink it.
They'll finish it if I don't like it.
No question. No question. Because, see, they understand that you may not be of an understanding to handle or deal with the goodness that they are putting
out. So basically they just say, with your punk A, your palate
ain't good enough for us. So we're going to go ahead on and finish y'all. You know what I'm saying? We're going to drink the rest of it and enjoy it. So with that being said,
Dig that.
With that being said, I do believe that is a good understanding. We've given y'all some insights to creams, shaving and grooming. These are important things when it comes to men's care. They're not exclusively for African Americans, mind you. They are for anyone who chooses. That's why they have a variety.
Dig that.
You find your brand, you see what works for you, and you indulge.
Dig that. So, I got something for you today.
Right.
And I'm not going to go into detail more so because it's all over the U.S. It's on the news.
Yes.
MSN, CNN, take your pick. But our school shootings, so many this year, more than, if it's two, it's too many.
Right. Absolutely.
But particularly in Chicago and Texas were two major incidents that made world news. And one particular incident, the one in Texas, the young man took the weapon, went to school. I don't have the story in front of me, so please, anyone, correct me if I'm wrong. And I'm not giving any dates or any specific school or cities in Texas, but if you've been keeping up, then you know which one I'm talking about. I believe that there were four students that were hurt. Two of them were killed, and the other two were in hospital care.
Critical.
Yes. The young man is in custody. I think at this point now, I know the last piece that I read, October 7th, he was released.
Okay.
But he has definitely been charged. But what happened was he stated that the only reason he took it to school and did the damage that he did was because he was bullied. As it relates to the other one in Chicago, a young man went to the school and targeted a specific staff member. And don't know the specifics behind why, still researching that story, but we can all speculate. But this is the question. This is the understanding that we need to have. And doesn't matter what city or state you're in, it may end up coming to your city or state. What's on the table now in many law enforcement agencies in different cities, i.e. Texas and Chicago, and on the legislative side, is that they are looking into allowing faculty and teachers to carry. a firearm for these reasons.
No.
So I propose to you, big homie, do you have in mind the pros and the cons? I have mine, but spill me yours.
Mine generally run from...
This is your pros or your cons? Which one are you going with?
These would be cons.
Okay.
If you...
And not to insult anyone, but cons are negative.
Yes.
So these are the negatives. Conflict, short for conflict.
If you allow teachers to arm themselves, faculty, to what point of an escalation would there be to where they decide lethal force is necessary?
Okay.
You know, I know that if someone has a weapon and you are protecting children and yourself from this individual with a weapon, then, okay, I can see the clarity of thought in that instance. But I'm more or less concerned that if a teacher deems someone belligerent, out of control, will they have the same feeling, the same reasoning on discharging a weapon and then claiming that the potentiality of them to become dangerous, that they eliminated based on the actions that were occurring here? Meaning that if two students got into it, do you get an opportunity to take your weapon out and discharge it at these students, or talk to these students, or try to contain this situation, or would law enforcement officers be more? Because I've seen officers slam children to the ground and do very unspeakable things to them because they were engaged in activities that these individuals who are trained with weapons, right, see going on and decided to respond to them in that manner. My thing is that, do we want armed teachers in a classroom? Do we want our kids to be subjected to someone's feelings based on a situation that may occur, to respond to it in such a negative and violent manner? Not saying that these people have guns, not saying that, I'm just saying they're out of order. You know, they're talking very rudely. They're talking very loudly. Do you need to pull out a weapon in these instances, or is that a weapon that we allow these teachers to have subjected to someone having a weapon and they are on the defense? You know, they are using it to diminish the capacity of someone who is now engaged in a violent act. And that's the question, you know. Do we allow that to occur? And would teachers pull a weapon, discharge that weapon on a kid who has a gun, which would be an understanding, and would it only be for that reason? Or would we allow them to do it with other students who do not have a gun but are acting in a belligerent manner that may cause you to feel a certain way? See, I go into the Trayvon situation. You know, you got kids disruptive. You got children acting out. They are talking and they're acting in a manner. Do you get to pull your weapon out and discharge it? Or is this solely when you arm faculty under the guise that you are defending your students against someone who is armed and dangerous. I mean, you know, we don't want no school shootings. I keep going all the way back to Columbine. We don't want anybody coming to a school armed and feeling that the only way they can deal with this situation is to enact retribution, you know, take it out on folks and do things to people whom they say have bullied them consistently, because anyone can, you know, look at it and say, well, he was bullied. He was fed up. He took a gun to school and decided to do something. The teacher was armed because they were allowed to carry weapons, and the teacher dispensed on this student a measure that ended their existence because of the stance that they were taking in this particular situation. There's a whole lot to grasp in such an environment of how you would react, why you would react, and what you would do. My fear is that when you have predominantly black kids in a school and they are being taught or should be taught by teachers that may not be of their ethnicity, would they have a right to draw a weapon on these kids because they feel that their belligerence is out of control? And they claim that their life or the potential lives of others may have been endangered by this student, so they took the appropriate steps by discharging their weapon and ending their life. I don't believe that a weapon should be out unless there is a weapon out.
Okay, so as you blend their understanding of what those cons are.
Yes.
How does that connect us to your your pros?
Well, the pros is you want to protect your kids. You want to protect yourself. You don't want someone to come up in the school armed to the teeth and extinguishing life, and all you have to your ability is to hide until someone comes and does something about this. That instance right there, would teachers, and I'm going to say something that folks may consider to be controversial, would a white teacher kill a white student with a weapon so that they could stop them from killing students because they have decided to cross the line?
Or would they?
Would they be more inclined, like the police do, to talk to or try to reason with or try to talk out
of? De-escalate.
Yeah, de-escalate the situation. And then you look at a black student, and I'm sorry, because we live in a day and time to where officers have used the threat of bodily harm to themselves to justify the killing of blacks. So do we allow teachers to be in a situation to where they could use the same circumstance? Well, I didn't know what he was going to do, and I was afraid for my life, so I shot him and killed him, though he had no weapon.
So just so we're clear, we got the con is that point blank there may be some prejudice involved.
Yes.
And there's going to be more endangerment to a particular
group
ethnicity of students.
Right.
Okay. So the con is that our students will be protected.
Right.
But what other, excuse me, pro is that our positive is that our students will be protected. But what other positives do you see, excuse me, that would be, that you could see with teachers or faculty being able to carry?
Well, you think about it. You have to go back to the West. If students know that teachers have guns too, and that the potentiality of them having a gun is not an exclusive.
So it's more psychological.
Yes, it's not an exclusive. If I go up in this school and start shooting, some teacher could shoot me as a result of the actions I decided to take. See, that right there changes the whole dynamics. You know, it changes everything about it because now we look more like a protective. This teacher protected these students and themselves by ending the life of a kid who decided to take the lives of someone else through whatever means that triggered them to do so. You know, bullying is something no one, black, white, or any ethnicity should have to deal with. And these things are more so needing to be discussed. Do you feel like you're being bullied? Do you feel like you're being targeted? Let's set up canceling, talking. Is there any students that feel this way? You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't have a dialogue to where you can deal with kids and try to cut it before it becomes a life and death situation.
Right.
You know, you want to stop them before they decide that the only thing that they have is this. You know, you read that there were an incident happened in Chicago.
Right.
An incident happened in Texas. And the root of these incidents is a bullying aspect to where these kids felt that they did not have a choice. They didn't have an alternative. They were tired. They were fed up. I don't know if they talked to anyone or not. They just took matters into their own hands and decided to do something.
Okay, so this is my soapbox. The cons for this, I agree with you. There may be some prejudice involved. But just to make this, in my opinion, because I try my best to be objective on both sides, because people look at you, if you're a particular race, oh, you only see this from the white side, or you only see this from the black side.
Right.
So, but what my fear is that not only, I definitely agree with what you were saying, that a white teacher would tend to be, have tendencies to shoot first and ask questions later on a black student. Why? Well, truth of the matter is that's the nature of our society. But correct. What I also feel like is that so much has gone on this planet, period. The racial lines have been so blurred and crossed up that if you did a poll, there's a lot of black people that would feel, if I'm a black educator, I see a white kid with a gun, whether he shot somebody, killed anybody yet, I'm going to fire.
Absolutely.
Because there's been so many incidents already where
of white kids.
You're right, the white kids who
doing this
in his basement.
Doing
parents
this.
Didn't have a clue. He's brought bombs and whatever
yes,
else.
Yes.
And so that's the mindset of this individual. And next thing you know, you've got the same totally different person, black or white, but you still got prejudice involved.
Yes.
So the cons for me, the conflict is that we have to have a way to eliminate a lot of What am I trying to say? We need to have a screening process that allows us to, okay, Mr. Big Homie, you went through our screening process and you've got some issues. So no, we're not going to allow you to carry. But Mr. Jones, you know what? We've gone through a screening process. Even if they're military based, they may have some police history or whatever. There's got to be something in place that would allow you to say, okay, we don't know, and nobody knows going to know 100%.
No, they don't.
But through our screening process, we're going to allow you to carry based off of this understanding, and these policies are in place. You can't just write out, start shooting folks just because. This is what we need to make sure that is in place, because if not, at the end of the day, you can go to jail too.
See, now you're saying this. You're saying that in split seconds, I got to determine, I got to analyze, and I got to react in accordance with.
Because what we've done is we've actually made, let me take that back. What we will do is make our faculty and our teachers
police.
Yes. And policemen have to do the same thing.
They'd have to
assess in a split second, in less than 10, 12 seconds.
I would think so.
All the variables in play, and am I going to discharge my weapon?
Yes.
Or am I going to use a taser?
Yes.
Or whatever the case may be, I'm going to apprehend. What am I going to do? Is this going to be deadly? Yes. Or is this going to be physical? What's the deal? And so that's very hard. The conflict is that not only is it difficult for us to anticipate and predict what type of nature X person has and is able to perform in a situation like this, in an escalated situation like this, but also the people in the law aspect, on the law side, the lawmakers will have to put something in place that says, okay, look, so the school's not liable because this is what's going to happen. We're going to allow this teacher or teachers or faculty members to carry weapons. My child's going to get shot. It's going to be deemed that it was a scenario that was irrelevant and it shouldn't have happened. And now I'm going to sue the city, the school system, the state, whatever. And then that's going to be an issue. So we have to make sure that.
And I mean, just from where you are right there, that perspective right there. See, you know, educators who are teaching our children to be better people in a society that they are a part of.
Right.
We are saying, hey, your conditioning to carrying a weapon, discharging a weapon, you see, because we would put them under a scrutiny, you know.
Yeah.
Which
that's right.
All people, especially police officers, should be under too. My thing is, when you look at it from a broader perspective, the likelihood of me being an African American male being killed by a white police officer where I do not present myself as being a danger to them is still high. The probability is high. So now I got an educator, and I don't know if you can screen out what you consider a possible threat or endangerment to be. You know, how far to go, what to do, what is necessary. See, we think that we should, as a society, have people in place like the police. The police should be able to assess, is this a dangerous situation? And do I have the time for an assessment before I react? Or do I react and say, based on what was going on, I don't know if it would have de-escalated. I don't know how far it would have gone. That's the thing about me saying, imminent danger, meaning you know this person has a gun and you are doing something to stop them,
right,
is different from I believe this person is going to become dangerous if I don't stop them. See, and that's the distinction. The distinction is, I know you have a gun, you need to be stopped, or you do not have a gun, and I feel you may become dangerous. Does the law protect me from my feelings towards you, see, right, in this instance? Because I honestly believe that a teacher, an educator, would distinguish a black male, 16 years old, 200 pounds, upset and pissed off, differently from a 160-pound white guy,
right,
who has been bullied by folk and decides to come to school with a weapon. Now, when you look at the statistics, how many black kids have went to school, shot schools up, killed folks in school, as opposed to white children who have done this? And then you say, well, okay, it's more white kids that have done this than black kids. So the likelihood, I'm not saying that this is absolute, the likelihood of this happening when you look at the variables from one ethnicity to another has a difference.
Okay.
You're asking me to make a distinction between an actual threat or a potential threat.
Okay, so with you saying that, here are my positives. Here are my pros. If we allow this to happen, I believe that there will be legislation in place for screen checks. I would like to believe that proper training would be also put in place, because even though we can't take normal average Joe educator Tom and make him a police-minded, military-disciplined individual to carry a weapon in school, we can give them that knowledge. So with those items in place, we'll have an individual that's properly trained, not only mechanically, which means the use of the firearm, but also given the situational knowledge, which all you can do is just mock, you know, put them through training. If this happens, this happens, what are you going to do? Blah, 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 blah.
Scenarios,
right? We can only believe that all those things are put in place. And I go back to what you said before. I feel like it's the psychological Western understanding. Everybody's got a gun, so everybody's going to act right. If you got what I got, or if you got what I know I can get, then 9 times out of 10, that should deter me wanting to act a fool. Yes, that is the pro. And I feel like that there's enough individuals that are educators that you're going to get those type of people that, you know what, hey, Lua, you know what? Yes, I want a gun. I'm disciplined. Let's run it. Yes, I'm concerned. But something that we talked about a while back is that there's a mindset that we have to have, individuals are going to have, is that danger is a reality that is for real. But fear is what?
Perceived.
It's a choice.
Yes.
It's a choice. So if I can, if they can train individuals, look, danger is real. The possibility of this happening is real. But your job is to stay calm. Yes, you're afraid, but to be fearful where you start blasting and acting a fool, no. Your fear is going to cause you to recognize all the variables in play and then make moves. Because instead of, oh, I got a gun, let me run to the threat, you know, first thing you need to do is secure everybody else that's in your area. See, and then keep moving. And that is not easy to do because
not when someone's active.
Every Joe Blow, right, is not going to be like
that. No, not when someone's active.
Because every teacher is not a former military.
No, no.
It's not former police.
Because you know, you're looking at people who are or have a understanding of this type of environment. Okay, it's happening and I'm doing something about what is happening. My thing is, my con is a situation that has not produced a weapon, but is getting a weapon drawn as a result of what's going on when something is going on. You got two students, you got a student talking crazy to a teacher. And you decide that you're going to escalate it to this point. You better get over there and sit down somewhere before you get yourself hurt. You better go over there and sit down because I ain't with it. You understand me, young man?
Right.
See, you're sitting over here, you're talking, and I done asked you to be quiet. As a matter of fact, I done asked you to leave, and you're sitting up there looking at me like you want to do something. I'm not the one. See, and if you act like you're going to do something, I got something for you. Now, that, to me, is different than an active shooter on the premises doing something, and you, as an educator, a teacher, anyone of the faculty, doing something to stop this from escalating beyond the tragedies that we have dealt with in the past. 15 kids have been shot. 2 faculty members have been shot. A guy comes to school. These things. And we're asking people to be trained in doing something that I don't think that they're ready for. Now, does everyone have a right to protect their lives? Yes. But when you look at situations that causes us to have to evaluate split moment decisions on life and death, that is a lot to put in someone's hands who may decide this situation, when looked at later, could have been handled differently, but at the moment was handled this way.
So, point blank, yay or nay?
Point blank, no.
And for me, I say yes, and we deal with the consequences.
Yes, I get that. And on that note,
we out. Out.